Okay, so you're ready to dive in. Today, we're going to get into something that's super relevant for all of you future legal eagles out there.
Definitely.
We're talking about the tricky area where patient privacy bumps right up against the legal system.
Yeah, exactly. It can get messy.
It really can. And to really illustrate this, we're going to zero in on a landmark case, Mulvey String. It's from way back in 1984 out of Alabama, but believe me, it's still making waves today.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
This case is like fundamental. If you want to understand what a doctor can, and more importantly, can't share a patient's medical info, especially when a lawsuit's involved. And let's be real, folks, this is something most of you, if not all, are going to run into in your legal careers.
Right. So we've got the actual court opinion for Mulvey String right here, and we've got some seriously sharp analysis of it too. Our mission today is for you to walk away with like a crystal clear understanding of those sometimes confusing rules around doctor-patient confidentiality when someone decides to sue, and what this whole case means in the real world.
That's the goal.
So, to kick things off, let's get the backstory straight. What exactly happened that landed this case in court?
Okay, so picture this. You've got Rest Mull. He's filed a medical malpractice suit against Providence Hospital.
Okay.
He claims he got hurt pretty badly because of a heating pad while he was a patient there.
Ouch, that sounds rough.
Yeah. And then we've got Dr. Samuel Timothy String. He's Mull's diagnosing physician. And he determines that Mull has something called necrosis of the right hip.
Okay, now necrosis of the right hip, for anyone who might not be up on their medical jargon, that basically means death of bone tissue in the hip, right?
Exactly. So here's where things get, well, kind of sticky. Dr. String, he shares a report with all the details of Mull's diagnosis, not just with the hospital itself, but with their lawyer too. And the big thing here is he did this without Mull giving him the okay.
Oh, that's getting into some ethically murky territory for sure.
Oh, yeah, and that wasn't even the end of it. On top of that, there were allegations that Dr. String was going around talking about what he thought caused Mull's injury, and he's spilling this to people who had nothing to do with the lawsuit. We're talking about third parties here.
Wow. Okay, so the doctors may be overstepping some serious boundaries.
And to add another twist, Mull actually asked Dr. String for a report earlier, and guess what? The doctor conveniently left out his opinion on what caused the whole mess.
Oh, so we've got a patient suing a hospital, and his own doctor is feeding info to the other side, and maybe even gossiping about the case to outsiders. You can see why this ended up in the Supreme Court.
Totally.
So, with all this going on, what were the big legal questions that the Alabama Supreme Court had to tackle in this case?
Right. So there were three main legal questions the court had to figure out.
Okay.
The first one, and this is the really important one, was whether a patient basically throws their right to doctor-patient confidentiality out the window just because they file a lawsuit about their medical condition.
Right.
Does doing that give the doctor a free pass to share everything with the people they're suing, with the defendants?
That's a massive question. I mean, for anyone thinking of suing over a medical issue, that's got to be a huge concern.
Huge, absolutely. The second question the court had to deal with was whether it's actually against the law for a doctor to go even further, not just sharing info with the defendants, but blabbing about a patient's medical stuff to people who have absolutely no business knowing.
So the court had to spell out that like basic level of professional conduct. You'd think that'd be obvious.
Well, you'd be surprised. And the third big question, this one's about the doctor's professional opinion. So let's say a doctor checks a patient out, forms an opinion about what caused their injury, but they aren't specifically asked about it. Do they actually have to put that opinion in their medical report?
Interesting. So you're saying a doctor might not have to go beyond what's specifically asked of them, even in a legal setting.
Exactly.
Right. Those are some really meaty legal issues the court had to sort out. So, what did the Alabama Supreme Court decide in the end? How'd they answer these questions?
Okay, so on that first question, that big one about filing a lawsuit and confidentiality, the court basically said, yes, but.
Yes, but.
Yes, but. Their thinking was that when a patient starts a lawsuit where their physical health is the core of the case, they're implying that they're waiving some of their doctor-patient confidentiality. But, and this is important, this waiver only covers sharing relevant medical information with the defendants and their lawyers.
Okay, so it's not like the doctor gets to just put the patient's entire medical history on blast.
No, definitely not. The court was really clear that this is limited to what's necessary for the lawsuit.
It makes sense.
Their reasoning for this was essentially that the public has a vested interest in making sure legal proceedings are fair. So in a case like this, where someone's suing over a medical issue, the other side has to have access to the relevant medical info to defend themselves properly. Plus, the court pointed out that this kind of information would probably come out anyway during the discovery process. This is what's known as the implied waiver doctrine.
So it's like you can't sue about your health and then expect the other side to be totally blind to your medical records.
Exactly.
It's got to be a level playing field.
Right. However, and this is where the court drew a hard line, they were crystal clear that sharing patient information with people who have nothing to do with the lawsuit, that's a big no-no.
Yeah, that makes sense.
They said doing that is a breach of the doctor's professional duty to keep things confidential, their fiduciary duty, and that could get the doctor in some real legal hot water.
So just to recap, sharing info with the defense in the lawsuit, generally okay under this implied waiver idea, but chatting about it with your buddy at the golf course, absolutely not okay.
Perfect summary. Now let's tackle that third question, the one about the doctor's obligation to give an opinion on what caused the injury. The court's stance on this was pretty straightforward.
Okay.
They said doctors are not required to offer their opinion on causation unless they're specifically asked.
Interesting. So a doctor doesn't have to play detective and try to figure out causation on their own unless someone explicitly asks them to weigh in on that.
Exactly. They've met their obligations by answering the questions they're given, but volunteering extra information, that's not their job.
Got it. Now, I know we've been throwing around some legal terms that might be new to some folks, like what exactly does fiduciary duty mean, especially when we're talking about the doctor-patient relationship?
Yeah, good point. So fiduciary duty is basically a fancy way of saying there's a special kind of trust and responsibility between two parties.
Huh.
Like, think about a financial advisor.
Okay.
They have a legal and ethical duty to act your best financial interest. Well, doctors have that same level of duty when it comes to their patients.
Makes sense.
They have to protect your health information and your overall well-being. It's not just a casual, hey, I'll keep your secrets kind of thing. It's a serious legal obligation.
So violating that duty is a big deal, legally speaking.
Huge deal.
Yeah.
And then there's the implied waiver doctrine that we mentioned earlier. Maybe we can unpack that a bit more for our listeners.
Sure. So implied waiver doctrine basically means that in this situation, when a patient decides to file a lawsuit about their health, they're kind of signaling that they understand certain medical information is going to come out.
Right.
They know it's going to be part of the legal process. It's not like they're signing away all their privacy, but the court recognizes that by suing, they're implicitly agreeing to let relevant information be examined.
Exactly.
But, and we can't stress this enough, this waiver has clear limits. It doesn't mean anyone and everyone can access their medical records.
Absolutely. Only those involved in the lawsuit.
Right. And we also talked about Dr. String filing a motion to dismiss Mull's complaint. Can you give us a quick rundown of what that means?
Sure. A motion to dismiss is basically a defendant saying to the court, look, even if everything the plaintiff is claiming is true, they still don't have a valid legal claim.
Okay.
It's like they haven't given you a real reason to let this case continue, so throw it out.
So they're trying to stop the lawsuit dead in its tracks right at the beginning.
Exactly. And in Mulvey String, the fact that the court sent part of the case back down to a lower court means they thought Mull did have at least some valid claims that deserved to be heard.
So at least some of his arguments passed the smell test, legally speaking.
Right. The court thought they were plausible enough to move forward.
So to bring all this together, Mull v. String essentially gave us what some legal folks call the Mull test. It's a three-part framework to figure out when this confidentiality exception kicks in during a lawsuit. Can you walk us through those three parts?
Absolutely.
Right.
So this exception, where the doctor can share information with the opposing side, only works if three things are true. First, the patient has to have actually started the lawsuit. Second, their physical condition has to be directly related to what's being argued in the lawsuit. And third, the information the doctor's sharing has to be stuff the defendant could legally get anyway through the normal discovery process.
Like through interrogatories or depositions?
Right. So it's got to be information that would come out eventually anyway. And the big takeaway here is if a doctor shares stuff outside of those very specific conditions, like blabbing to someone who's not involved in the case at all, then, well, they're in trouble. That's not protected. And they could be in breach of their fiduciary duty to the patient.
So this Mull test really lays down the law, so to speak, on when doctors can and can't share information.
Exactly. It's a crucial guide.
So why does all of this matter for our listeners? What are the big picture takeaways here?
This case really shows how courts have to walk a tightrope. They have to balance a patient's right to privacy with the need for fairness in the legal system.
Especially when it comes to medical issues.
Absolutely. And it highlights that while doctor-patient confidentiality is super important, it's not absolute. If you sue over a medical issue, you are giving up some of that privacy, at least as it relates to the lawsuit.
Right, and it's not just about privacy. This case also sets clear boundaries for doctors. They don't have to go above and beyond what's asked of them in a legal setting.
Exactly. They answer the questions, and that's it. They don't have to volunteer extra opinions or analysis unless specifically asked.
And there can be serious consequences if they overstep those boundaries.
Big time. Huh. If a doctor starts sharing confidential info with people who shouldn't have it, especially if it's done out of malice, they could face some hefty penalties, including punitive damages. The courts take this fiduciary duty very seriously.
So, for all you aspiring lawyers out there, this case is a real lesson in how to advise your clients. If they're thinking about suing over a medical issue, you got to make sure they understand that some of their medical info will likely become public knowledge.
Right. And it's important to explain that this disclosure is limited to the lawsuit. It's not a free-for-all.
Exactly. And for those of you on the medical side or thinking about a career in medicine, Mulvey String is a loud and clear reminder to be super careful about what information you share and with whom when legal matters are involved. Stick to the questions you're asked, and if you're ever unsure, err on the side of protecting your patient's privacy.
100%.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, what are the core lessons we should take from Mulvey String?
Well, this case gives us really important guidance on the exceptions to patient confidentiality when there's a lawsuit involved. It recognizes that there's this implied waiver, this limited waiver, for the sake of a fair legal process. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it puts up strong protections against unnecessary disclosures to people who don't need to know.
It's a real balancing act, isn't it? So, something for you to ponder after this deep dive. Think about the ethical and legal tightrope that doctors have to walk when their duty to protect their patients' privacy clashes with the demands of the legal system. How can we find that sweet spot, that balance between those two sometimes competing interests as we move forward in law and medicine?
That's a great question. And if you're really intrigued, I encourage you to check out other cases that have dealt with this issue, both in Alabama and in other states. See how they've interpreted and applied the Mull test. You could also dig into the broader world of privacy laws and how they affect medical practice and legal proceedings. There's a ton of fascinating stuff out there.
Yeah, lots to explore. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive. We'll see you next time.
See ya.